Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, Sharks fans. Welcome to episode lucky 13 of Dudes on Hockey. We are 1 week away from the very first live hockey we've seen in months. Teal and White game is a week from tonight, Tuesday.
Dude, I'm fired up.
I'm fired up too. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. Or actually, it's probably going to be really bad, but we're going to be so excited it's going to be awesome.
It won't matter.
It doesn't matter.
We'll have a cold Molson in one hand, dipping dots in the other. Mike will have the rainbow ice flavored, of course.
I'll never live that one down.
Why would you ever... And someone can maybe respond to this to questions at dudesonhockey.com. Why would you ever buy rainbow ice Dippin' Dots, Mike?
I think the answer can best be, I can think it'd be best be answered from a quote from Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. And that is, God loves wondrous variety.
But the truth is that in that juggling photo from last week, you're actually juggling rainbow Dippin' Dots.
Oh, man. I'm never going to live that down. I never should have mentioned that. But there actually are some games going on, Sharks fans, and we are answering, just to give you what's on tap for tonight, we're going to answer some emails. I would like to get some emails from you all, questions at dudesonhockey.com. We have some very loyal fans and some friends of ours. I hope we can call them friends by now that email us, and we really appreciate that. And that's really the lifeblood of the show up till now, but we need some fresh blood. So if you have something you want to talk about, email us that address, and we'll be happy to answer your questions on the air. It doesn't have to be a really in-depth question about the Sharks. It could really be about just anything regarding hockey, and we'll be happy to talk about it. But we are going to open with our friend in Canada, Ian, who talks about the rookie games. And he said, I've noticed some teams have been playing games against other teams with just their rookies. Have the Sharks played any such games? And the answer to that is yes. The Sharks rookies have been playing against the Ducks over the last few games. And these games have not been televised. I think they're in Vegas. And all I can do is read about the games on either HF boards or read about them on sjsharks.com. So we don't have to go too far into it, but you know, there's some, the surprise so far seemed to be Mike Morris, who was up till now considered to be a sort of a disappointing first round pick. He's been injured many times since he's been drafted. I think it was 2002 he was drafted in the first round, and he hasn't seen any NHL time at all, but he scored in, I believe, every game so far. So that's a nice surprise. So this guy may have a real shot, if he stays healthy, of being on the big club.
Any other players standing out?
Yeah, Steven Zalewski, I think. He had an assist in the first game and a goal in the second game, and I think a goal again in the third game. So my pick, need I remind us all?
Very nice.
He was my pick maybe to make the club, to pull a Torrey Mitchell this year.
Very nice.
Steven Zalewski was a college player with Clarkson, and he looks like he's playing pretty well. It's probably likely that he'll be in the AHL, but you never know. He could surprise some people. He certainly seems to be making a good impression so far.
Great. So, have you checked out any of the, you know, there's a larger tournament that I think Ian has mentioned, and maybe he was alluding to the one that has Minnesota, Columbus, Detroit. Mm-hmm.
Up in Traverse City, Michigan, I think it is. Mm-hmm. I haven't been able to see those games. I think they've been on the NHL Network, but I haven't been able to catch those as of yet. I've just been sad over not seeing NHL Live, which I think was pushed back another week.
It was pushed back because of this tournament, yeah.
Oh, is that what it was?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think so, because these games are, they have them kind of on a continuous loop on the network, and I did only watch part of one game between Tampa Bay and Hotlanta.
Oh, fun.
And, well, I wanted to see Ty Wishart, because, you know, we really haven't seen Ty Wishart now that he's gone. Mm-hmm. And he had 6 shots on goal in that game.
Wow.
So, you Holy know, crap. they're really giving him a look as far as, you know, well, in the prospects, of course, he's probably in their top pairing. Mm-hmm. But he looked pretty good. I didn't get to see enough, but, you know, for what they were hoping to get, it looks like they definitely might have something there.
Hmm, interesting. Well, need I remind all Sharks fans that regular training camp does open this weekend on Saturday. I believe those sessions are open to the public, Saturday and Sunday. They might be holding sessions all throughout the week, and you can find the schedule at sjsharks.com. So I might be going either Saturday or Sunday. Looks like the way my schedule's shaping up, probably Sunday, not Saturday. But if any of you want to go, maybe we can meet up with you there at the Ice Center.
Fantastic.
I know I have a hockey game of my own on Sunday night, actually. So, but anyway, so let's move on to the next email, actually, from another friend of ours, Ivan Makarov, who actually took us to task a little bit about the comments we made last week about holding the opening of the season overseas. And he says,
"Bring it.
You guys are looking at this as Americans. Guilty as charged. NHL is highly popular in Europe, and all the games will always sell out. I grew up there watching the games, and for a fan of hockey, it's a dream come true to watch a live NHL game. Always remember that out of all the American pro leagues broadcast in Europe, the NHL is number one in hockey-mad countries like Russia, Sweden, the Czech Republic, and does provide revenue to the league. As if these countries share their best players with the NHL, at least the NHL could do is bring some teams back. As a European, I think that's a brilliant move." Well, consider me duly chastened. I sort of think about this in a different light, I guess. You know, in terms of a marketing move, it does make sense. In terms of putting certain teams as a disadvantage to start the season, I think that's unassailable. It's a disadvantage to those players that have to travel, or to those players and teams that have to travel. But you know, I don't really support the idea of expanding to Europe. I think it's just a not a good idea for hockey. But in terms of keeping fans interested in hockey in Europe, I think that's a great idea. So maybe the league is a little bit more long looking than I am in this regard. But it's an interesting point, and I'm glad you brought to our attention, Ivan. So thank you very much for that email. Next, we have another email. Our buddy Jeremy talks about something more in line with our season preview, which we will continue in this show with the Atlantic Division coming up in just a little while. But Jeremy says, "Here's what I think is interesting and worthy of your input. Last year, only one Western team had a losing record versus the East, while seven Eastern teams had losing records versus the West. Will this continue this year? And if so, what does that do to point totals?" What do you think about that? This year, as we know, the schedule is changing slightly. Every team is playing every other team at least once, and the number of division games is going down from 8 to 6. So that means there's going to be more games the Sharks will play against the Eastern Conference, which means more, you know, a game against some teams that we didn't play at all last year. So what do you think? You think the West is obviously better the way it has been, for instance, in the NBA the last few years?
I think so. I think the West is definitely stronger. You look through 1 through 8 through the playoff teams last year, you know, you get to the bottom in the East, and it was getting pretty slim pickings. You know, you got Boston as the 8, and there were some teams that didn't make the playoffs in the West that probably would have easily made the playoffs if they were in the East.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's interesting you bring up the NBA, because that definitely was a major problem, you know, last year in the NBA, is that, you know, the West is way better, and I don't think it's that dramatic, but I think, you know, it can only bode well for the Sharks as far as, you know, their point totals will go up, but so will probably the rest of the division. So is it going to have an effect on the standings as far as the Sharks are concerned? Probably not, because I think, you know, everybody in the Pacific is going to have some sort of inflated point totals because of their extra date with a few of these teams that are going to be easy pickings for them.
Mm-hmm. But I think you're right. Like the NBA, there's going to be some teams in the West that would probably wish they were in the East, but that's just the way sports go. You can't expect, you know, conferences to always be balanced in that way. And, you know, Jeremy mentions he thinks that 4 Western teams might top 100 points, and to make the playoffs, it'll take 95 points. Sounds a little high to my ear. Probably it might be a few points less. I think usually low 90s make the playoffs. Sometimes in a down year, the high 80s make the playoffs.
You've got teams that are now getting an extra, you know, you play Atlanta and you play Toronto, and you play the Islanders an extra time.
Right.
That's 6 extra points.
Right. It's true. And so that's a point.
He might have a point as far as, you know, if it was 90 points last year, this year it might be 96.
That would be crazy. That would be, I think, the highest point total for an 8th seed that I can remember, certainly in the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. But that sort of takes us in a tangential way, since Jeremy is a Ducks fan, over to...
You just said tangential.
I did. Over to Ducks news. Mm. Matthew Schneider was waived today. Mm-hmm. He has a $5.5+ million contract. And it... So the Ducks are shedding salary. They are up against it at this point. They're a couple $1 million at least over the cap, and they're probably trying to sign Solani, and they have to get rid of some salary. But the funny thing is that even waiving Schneider doesn't take the money off the cap yet.
So if no one claims him, which I think someone is going to, and we'll talk about that in a second, but if no one claims him, let's say,
mm-hmm.
they're still stuck with his money on the books, right, Mike?
They still A, have to pay him, and B, it counts against the cap as well, because there's a clause in the CBA that says if the contract is signed when you're over 35, and Schneider was 36 or 37 when this contract was signed, regardless of whether the player is even playing or where he's playing, the cap hit is still there. So even if Schneider is sitting at home or playing golf or something this year, not playing for anybody, the Ducks not only have to pay him, but it counts against the cap.
So we've seen this move before out of Burke. I mean, he did this during the year last year with Brizgalov.
Right.
He did the same thing. I think he knew that Phoenix was going to claim him. He knew it was going to happen. He waived him, and he was claimed by the Coyotes, and he took nothing in return. He didn't want anything in return. Mm-hmm. He just wanted to get rid of him. Now, do you think Burke is stupid?
So, you know, there's a couple different schools of thought. So I was trolling the boards about this particular issue. And so there's a couple other sort of rule things that sort of factor in. One thing that's interesting is that if a team claims him off of waivers, that team cannot trade him this year.
Hmm.
So if the Kings claim him off of waivers, they assume his contract, they pay him $5.5 million or whatever it is, $1 million. But if it comes up to the deadline, Kings can't trade him. They have to play him through the playoffs.
And interesting.
They can't get rid of him. And then at that point, he'll become an unrestricted free agent. And they'll likely get nothing for him. So the Kings have said that they are not going to claim him off waivers. If he becomes completely unrestricted,
which he won't,
you think somebody will claim
him?
Well,
no. Well, I think he's going to get claimed, but this is my other question, and I don't know the answer, is if no one claims him, mm-hmm. then can the Ducks pull him back and keep him? Because why would you pay him to go away when that's not going to solve their problem?
Yeah, so what the Ducks would do is they would bring him back up through re-entry waivers, and that would give teams another chance to claim him. At this point, though, they would only have to assume half of his salary, and I think in that case, and the Ducks would actually be responsible for the other half, and I think in that case, you would definitely see some takers. But again, that rule about not trading a player would still be in effect, so I think one of the reasons why the Kings didn't claim him on the way down is maybe they figured they could get him on re-entry, or they didn't want to be hamstrung in that way.
So do we know that he's cleared?
We don't know that he's cleared. Tampa Bay is not going to claim him, or they've said they're not going to claim him, and we know that LA has said they're not going to claim him.
I think I know who it's going to be.
All right.
Mike, in some cultures, you're elderly, you put them on a raft, and you float them out to sea. And you let them die. All right. That's in some cultures.
Okay.
In hockey, you put your elderly on a raft and you float them out to an island. The New York Islanders. They have quite a collection of elderly people there. Bill Guerin.
Doug Waite.
I think that he's going to end up there. I mean, it makes sense only because Garth Snow is obsessed with being completely ludicrous as far as putting together his roster. And, you know, do they need him? Yeah. But for their team, it's dumb. But I think that's who's going to do it. And if you're Schneider, are you beyond pissed?
I mean, he was between a rock and a hard place. There was nothing he could do. I mean, the only two options for Burke was to trade him to anybody that would offer anything, which is very, you know, I mean, Schneider doesn't have any choice in that case, or waive him, in which Schneider doesn't have any choice in that case either. So it's not like Schneider really was holding any sort of control in this deal. He didn't have a no movement clause or a no trade clause.
But this is the Dan Boyle situation too, where Boyle basically, you know, well, Boyle was tradable, but Boyle said, I'm not going to Atlanta. If you waive me, I won't go.
He had to go.
Well, but he made a stand in a way. He said, "I'll waive my no trade."
He said he'll waive his no trade,
but
in exchange. But clearly the Ducks haven't been able to trade him, or not for enough.
So here's part two of my question, Mike.
Okay.
Does this damage long term the Ducks' ability to sign free agents based on, okay, hey, come on over and play. We'll give you a 2-year, $11 million deal, but we might waive you in the middle of the deal and let the worst team in the league or one of them claim you?
I don't know. I mean, you know, it's a situation. I mean, a lot of players have been bought out this offseason. Look at a guy like Glenn Murray. I mean, the Ducks obviously bought out Bertuzzi.
But that gives him the option to make his own choices.
Right.
Schneider has no say in this.
He has no say.
So then how is this an advantage for a player to sign a contract with the team that you choose and then they just waive you?
Yeah, I mean, will it affect players wanting to go to the Ducks? You know, to be honest, I don't know if players really wanted to go to the Ducks in the first place. You know, for the team, you know, they signed the guy. They got the guy that they wanted in Schneider. Yeah, he overstayed his welcome, and so they ran him out of town. You know, that's what they did with Bertuzzi. They took a flyer on him. They signed him. They gave him 2 years, and they said, eh, no thanks.
Is it fair to say he's a bust? He's a casualty of war here, isn't he?
He's a casualty of war. I wouldn't say he's a bust. He's still a good defenseman.
Sure.
But for $5.5 million for a team that's strapped for the cap and wants to sign Solani, it makes no sense.
So what does this say about Kyle McLaren's situation? Could you see that this is a very realistic possibility that the Sharks are going to have to waive Kyle?
I think that is becoming more realistic by the day. I think that may be the only option that the Sharks will have at the end of the day, is to just put him out there and let him float in the breeze. It's going to be, you know, a hard thing to see.
Now, McLaren is a different situation from Schneider. If he clears waivers, he's not on the books. Is that right, Mike?
That's right, because he didn't sign his contract after he was 35. So
this is more of an advantage Sharks. If they decide to waive McLaren, basically release him.
He's off the cap. So
we'll see.
Well, yeah, I'm sure we'll be reporting next week on what happened with Schneider, and we'll be talking about the implications of that. But yeah, I think this is only one more sign that the McLaren situation is becoming more intractable by the day. And the idea that we're going to get value from McLaren. There was even rumors that the Ducks were offering to package Schneider with a pick to somebody for something, and they couldn't.
No takers.
And they couldn't even get that. So I think,
not when you can have Ron Hainsey for that price. Right. Why would you want him?
I suppose. Who was also claimed off waivers. But let's move on to the preview part of the show. We're going to be
fantastic.
Previewing the Atlantic Division. Probably the most interesting division in the East. And if we get to it, we might run down what our playoff teams for the East would be. But we might hold that off for another show. But let's start at the top. Let's start with New Jersey. New Jersey made, in my mind, one of the best signings of the offseason in signing Brian Ralston. They also brought back an old friend in Bobby Holik. But they did lose some guys that were sort of more secondary players, like Sergei Brelin and Vitaly Vishnevsky and Karl Vachunik. But, you know, Jersey didn't really seem to lose a lot, but they certainly seemed to gain some stuff. So what's your opinion of where Jersey stands in this admittedly very tough division?
Yeah, this is a tough division. But I like what Jersey did. I think they brought back two former Devils who are going to be impact players this year, mm-hmm. Holik and Ralston. They've got a good D. They've got the best goalie in the business. And, you know, I think the Devils have the potential, if they can stay healthy, to be one of the best, if not the top seed in the East, just based on chemistry, based on feeling good, based on, you know, clicking on all cylinders. If they can get it going and Brodeur is hot, you know, New Jersey could be good in the regular season.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In that system.
Right. And, you know, and with their defensive system, they can always sort of make a run for the playoffs. You never know when they're going to get shut down or when they can start shutting down players and teams and really start causing a lot of frustration. We've seen it before in previous years when they won the Cup, and they could easily do it again anytime.
I think they felt the loss of Gomez big time last year, and by bringing back Rolston. Mm-hmm. That's going to make a big difference for them. They slipped up last year, and I think that they've, you know, Sweet Lou made the right moves.
Sweet Lou did it again. He did it again, and they don't have any cap problems. And
I like the Devils this year, Mike.
Yeah, I like the Devils too. But one team I don't like is the Islanders, as we talked about. They added Mark Strait that they got from the Canadians, and they added Doug Waite as a free agent. They did lose Chatan. They did lose Fedotenko. Of course, they lost one of our favorite players in Rob Davison, who scored probably the craziest goal of the entire NHL season on another Exarch Vesetoskala. That was like a 195-foot goal.
Is it Davison on the Canucks this year?
Yeah, he went to the Canucks.
Delightful.
And this is like counting deck chairs in the Titanic, but for some reason they let Wade Dublowitz go, which I thought he was a pretty capable backup, and now they got two guys I've never even heard of backing up DiPietro, which I don't understand why you would let a guy like Dublowitz go. It's not like you had to pay him a lot, but yeah. I mean, that's just a very small problem in a franchise that's got tons of problems. They got a horrible building to play in that they don't really have any chance of upgrading in any time soon.
Maybe Dublowitz is going to be the next GM. Do you ever think about that?
I didn't think about it.
Listen, you never know what's going to happen there.
I guess you don't, but I guess the question becomes, I don't think any of us is picking the Islanders anything other than last in this division. You know, do they have any bright spots at all? Do they, you know, is there a light at the end of this admittedly dark tunnel?
Not right now. I mean, Ted Nolan seemed to be able to get the most out of this collection of, I mean, he made them a playoff team 2 years ago with basically kind of the same spare parts veteran roster,
which is amazing.
And, you know, last year they weren't totally dead until near the end. But this year, I think they're just dead. And I do like the coaching choice that they made, bringing in a young coach or a coach who has, you know, some sort of...
Who'd they bring in?
Ah, God, he was an AHL coach, and I can't even remember his name. Oh. But their strategy is contradictory as far as, like, they've got a young coach, but then they don't really have a young team.
And then they signed Doug Waite.
Yeah, yeah, it's weird.
And they have Brendan Witt.
So,
you know,
as far as, you know, and then they extended Brendan Witt. But so I don't think they really know what they're doing right now. But
so, let's move on to some more interesting teams in the division. The next is the New York Rangers. New York Rangers had a lot of turnover this year. You know, they made some pretty big signings. They signed Wade Redden. That was their biggest signing, one of the biggest of the first day of free agency. They did get, they did sign Rhys Miller. And they made a trade for Jared.
Sorry, I can't. That's funny.
Rhys Miller's a decent third line player. You know, they got a lot of young guys there. Rhys Miller's a pretty steady guy.
The Riz.
The Riz.
He's
the Riz.
Now, what else do we say about him?
He's good, kinda.
Kinda.
Oh man!
Should get a shirt made.
But they lost some guys. You know, they obviously lost Jagr. They lost Avery. They lost Malik. Shanahan's unsigned. Kasparaitis is gone. You know, so again, New York sort of turned over a bunch of guys. They got some decent young players, but and they got a Vezina finalist. So, you know, the New York Rangers, I drank the Kool-Aid last year. Let me give you a preview. I'm not drinking it this year. I am not convinced the Rangers are going to be able to compete for the division title at all. I don't think they're ever going to be in it, to be honest.
My one word summation of the Rangers is, huh? I don't understand. It makes you kind of appreciate Doug Wilson even more, because at least he has like a vision of now and like years to come. Whereas the Rangers, I don't know what's going on over there. And now the whole Matt Sundin thing, I mean, it seems like that maybe he's actually going to end up there. And they're going to trade Scott Gomez? What?
Yeah.
You know, I don't understand. I don't know what's going on. Even with, let's say, no changes, this is a fringe playoff team at best. You don't think you can completely gut your roster and expect to stay status quo. So they're going to be competitive, but they're not going to win the cup.
Yeah, they have some bright spots. And I think they'll probably make the playoffs, but you know, they're not going to be competing with the top two in this division.
No.
I don't think.
And I think we will see how highly overrated Wade Redden might be.
We might very well see that.
Here.
Yeah. So next is Philly. Philly lost Jason Smith, they lost Prosper, they lost RJ Umberger in a trade for picks on draft day. And they gained some spare parts, Steve Eminger, Glenn Metropolit, Brian Berard's in on a tryout. So, you know, you could sort of say that Philly is largely unchanged except for Smith. Well, Umberger was a good young player. So, you know, it's a net down, I think, for Philly here. So the question is, are we going to see the same surprising team that we saw last year with a slightly different roster, but with all the major parts still there?
I like how they play. I really like how this team plays. And I think, you know, we'll see early how maybe their heartbeat and Jason Smith, him not being there, how much that's going to affect how the team kind of just plays like Jason Smith, you know, like blocking shots and getting in your face and playing hard-hitting, hard-nosed hockey. And they were fun to watch. Will they still have that kind of attitude? I don't know. But yeah. I hope so, because I think that that could make the division even more entertaining. They're definitely a playoff team to me, but will they be as good as last year? I don't know.
Which is interesting, because they don't have nearly the kind of glamour that the Rangers have, but I might put them above the Rangers, even just the same. So then we have to finish up with the reigning Eastern Conference champions, the Pittsburgh Penguins. You know, they lost some pieces. They lost Hossa. They lost Ryan Malone. They lost Ruutu. They lost Gary Roberts. They got some guys that they could get. They got Eric Goddard, who I like. They got Fedotenko and Chetan from the Islanders, and they got Matt Cook. So they sort of got some third line guys for some pretty good guys. But they still have probably the first and third best players in the entire NHL and a damn good goalie. And they re-signed Orpik, and they still got Gonchar. You know, this is a team that's still loaded. Absolutely loaded.
Absolutely. And they've definitely got, I mean, they could make a decision later in the year. I mean, they've got Staal. If they wanted to trade Staal and bring in, I mean, if Marian Gaborik's not going to re-sign and Gaborik ends up in Pittsburgh again at the deadline, they pull another Hossa. Mm-hmm. They have the pieces to do it. So I still like Pittsburgh a lot. I think that, you know, Chetan and Fedotenko, you could put me on the top line with Crosby. I might score a goal just by having it bounce off my ass.
Right. Okay. So you know, you were spoke pretty highly about Jersey a moment ago. Would you say Jersey's going to win this division or Pittsburgh?
I'm going to take Jersey.
I'm going to take Pittsburgh.
I like it.
Okay. So, yeah, I think that Pittsburgh's got all the pieces they need, and I love the way that they're built. They're, you know, and they got tons of good players. And if Crosby's not hurt, you know, he missed a lot of games last year. If him and Malkin are both firing, 1 year older, 1 year better, I mean, how can you stop that power play?
They're going to be good. I'm going for an old school revival here.
Okay.
Devils.
Going for old school. Okay. So that would be my second place team, Jersey. Your second place team would probably be Pittsburgh. So now it gets a little muddy. So Islanders are last, so who's third and fourth? Rangers, Philly, which way?
I'm going Philly.
Going third. Philly third and Rangers fourth?
Yeah.
That is a tough call. My tiebreaker is goaltending. I'm not drinking the Rangers Kool-Aid, but they, you know, if Biron struggles in Philly, then
they're dead.
Then they're dead. And but, you know, Rangers have had chemistry issues in the past. It could hurt them again. I'll take the Rangers just because they managed to make the playoffs last year. They could do it again this year.
All right.
Who knows? Okay, that's the preview. You know, and we'll have to actually hold the playoff teams for another week because we're almost out of time. So, but thanks for listening to Dudes on Hockey. We will be back again next week, this time with actual experience of live hockey.
It's so close.
For the first time in months. I am so excited. Keep listening to us. You can find us on the web, read our blog at sharks.hockeyanalysis.com. Thanks for listening.
Hey Mike, do you need a Zamboni when you clean the rainbow ice?
Hate the show? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.